right, good morning, everybody. Today is Wednesday, Tuesday. I'm not sure. I think it's Tuesday, December 29, 2015. And this is Before the First Cup of Jewels here on UCY.TV. Happy Tuesday, everybody. It's 40 degrees and drizzling here in upstate New York. We had the spate of weather that came through here last night. Freezing rain, freezing sleet, snow, then rain, then cycling back through again. It was pretty exciting 24 hours or so, but it looks like it's done now. So that was our one day of winter in December. So where do we leave off yesterday? Well, guess what? Zori's back. Yay. Good morning.
Good morning.
How is it at 6 a.m.? 7 a.m. there.
Cold. It got real cold yesterday and last night, but no snow, no rain.
Just same old ho-hum.
Yeah, except for yesterday was the first day. I can't even remember how long it's been since we had no trails in the sky. A beautiful blue sky all day long.
Mm.
That's rare. I haven't seen one probably in over a year.
No trails, no weather.
Yeah. They seem to go together. I don't know. And your weather, you're getting warm again?
It started warming up, yeah. Sorry, I am battling this cold. I woke up this morning again and felt like a truck ran over me. So I doubled some more vitamin D chewables and did my super greens when I ran upstairs. But I have to keep muting and blowing. So don't mind me if I disappear.
Disappear.
Yeah, you know what? It's supposed to warm up again. Hold on 1 second. Let's look. Because I thought at one point they were saying up around 50s, but you know, who knows what the weather is, because it said one thing last week and now this week it's completely different. You know, we were supposed to have like freezing rain on Thursday. Now I'm not sure if that's the storm that went through or not, but
well, you'd think since they're pretty much controlling the weather, they could at least, you know, report it properly.
Right. We've assign Tuesday
yeah.
to be 80 degrees and sunny.
Yeah. It's, you know what's always got me is how, like, there'll be a storm that'll go through and they'll report it and they'll say exactly when it'll start and exactly when it will end, and it happens.
Yeah, well, that's probably less often than not, though. How often do they predict the weather and it actually comes true?
Well, hardly ever, except for their alerts. It's so funny.
Right.
At least here.
Hold on. I'm trying to remember a name. Boop, 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 boop. Except it's early. I've only had 2 cups of my coffee. No, 2 sips, not cups. Here we go. All right. Prize number two. He answers the phone. Oh, is it even the right one? Yeah, it should be.
Yeah, it's the right one.
It just says, yeah, sure. Oh, he had to go get coffee. All right, well, we'll let it ring. This prize is coming. So, I don't know. This week is just going to be like chill out week, I think. I do want to give a big shout out to Izmir, Turkey. I had a comment on one of the Before the First Cup videos last week wishing us a Merry Christmas from Izmir. I think that's how you say it. Izmir, Izmir, Turkey. And I was really taken aback by that. That's pretty awesome that we have people listening in Turkey. So
wow.
Merry Christmas and happy holidays to you too and everybody else out there in other countries. And yeah, it really is that messed up here.
Yeah.
It's not. I'm sure it is everywhere else. This is not the way it used to be, that's for sure. And I think our second guest is back with coffee.
There he is.
Testing 1, 2, 3.
Good
Mr.
morning, JJ.
How you doing? Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you and Dodie.
And Merry Christmas to you.
And happy belated birthday. That was like a week or two ago.
That was 10 days ago today. And,
counting the days.
Well, no, it's easy. It was on the 19th.
Well, at least he knows his math.
Yeah, I wasn't in school for Common Core, so I still know how to add.
Or in subtract.
There you go.
I set my headphones on fire the other day, so I had... So there might, if you have to let me know if you hear a little echo.
Okay, how'd you do that, JJ?
Yabba dabba doobin with a torch.
Oh boy! I hope they weren't on your head.
Oops.
No, they weren't.
Okay.
So we finally got snow here.
Yeah, ours is, it's already gone on the roads. I looked this morning. There's some on the deck and back, but that's it. There's not much. It was probably even less than an inch.
Yeah, we didn't get that very much either. Tug Hill got a little bit, but it's cold. It's cold, but I got heat in my man cave this winter.
I got heat in here, too.
So, were you guys live yesterday?
Yeah, we were.
But I seen you text me, but I was gone. I didn't realize until I got back.
Yeah, we were. It's okay, though. I don't know. Holiday weeks, I struggle because I can't focus on anything. You know what I mean? The kids home, the family's visiting, people
and
are calling.
Mom and Dad got you sick.
Yeah, oh my God. My father's really sick. I called to check on him again yesterday, and I found out that his best buddy, I guess this traveled from their house because their daughter came to visit my sister when she was in town. So it wasn't the New York plague direct. It somehow came irregularly to the New York travels. But she gave it to my dad, but her dad had just been in the hospital with this, and it had turned into pneumonia, so.
Yeah, that's what you got to be careful of with.
Yeah, that's why I keep checking on him, because, I mean, he doesn't admit that he's sick, but, I mean, the guy can't even talk.
Wow. Has he got it in his chest?
Yeah, it's real deep chesty. That's why I'm worried, but I don't know. We'll see. I just keep being Mother Hen. I call
Mother
every time.
Hen. That somehow doesn't.
But it's 70. You got to be careful. 71, whatever it is, you know.
Yeah, because once pneumonia gets a hold, you know, you can't hardly stop it. So that's scary.
I've had it before, but it's just really damn miserable, and you don't want to be ending up in ICU for 3 days on intravenous, you know?
No.
Last time I had a bad infection, that's exactly what happened to me. So, where do we go from here? I really don't have much.
JJ, what do you think about all this information on frequencies and how it's disrupting the human body?
Good Lord, it starts at almost at conception.
Anymore, yeah.
No, I'm serious. The trauma to a child begins really as soon as the baby is conceived, the fetus, they start with
ultrasounds.
You know, they just start bombarding it with ultrasounds and with, you know, different all these different things that you know, and then C-section. So before a baby's even born, it's been traumatized by waves.
That's
by
true.
Sound.
Yeah. I hadn't thought of that.
World is completely. I mean, with Wi-Fi, with all the analog channels shut down and everything digital, up to and including even these wind farms, man, with low frequency rumbles and how and growls.
Yeah, Ron did a whole show on that.
Yeah,
and there are people with sensitivities to that.
I believe it was like a study. It was conducted up near us or just north of us in Canada. And, you know, it found that these wind farms are actually hazardous to your health. They can cause insomnia and other things, you know, anxiety, all these things associated with it, 'cause it's a low frequency rumble that you can barely hear, but that does affect your body. You know what I'm saying? And then once you start depriving yourself of sleep, you get a whole host of other, you know,
Yeah, because that's when your body has a chance to heal and take care of itself.
Yeah, we're bombarded by frequencies anymore. Jules was talking about, I think it was last week, about how people seem lobotomized. About, or maybe it wasn't Jules, but it was on a subject that she was talking about in the chat room. And I got to thinking, you know, I don't even know as they really need to do chemical lobotomies anymore. They probably can. I mean, in the last few years, with all the work that they've done on AI, on the genome project, on what Jules talks about all the time, on controlling the brain and controlling the mind. I mean, they can already monitor a brain and they've done enough tests now where they know which receptors fire off, and so they can actually put like your dream to pictures on a screen. They can insert memories, and you know
they can. They're doing all that now.
Nobody.
Yeah, Dr. Adde. We were just.
You remember a few years ago I did a show with this lady Sherry Edwards.
Mm-hmm.
Bioacoustic research down in Ohio, and she does amazing things with sound. I mean, what do I think of it? I think that we're just totally bombarded, and it's not natural. I mean, obviously.
This Dr. Adde, he worked with some of the scientists that came over from Germany, and he was able to like use different frequencies and make people into like zombies in that kind of state of mind and change your emotions. It's real scary.
Well, we also had that DARPA ElectRx program, which we did a couple times on the show, where DARPA's been experimenting with not only different frequencies but with magnetic fields and electrical shocks and manipulating different systems within the body. And it really makes you wonder, you know, how much of this Western disease is caused by these frequencies.
Mm-hmm. And you know, they discovered a new cancer.
Yeah, and if it's not caused by it, it's certainly
helping it along.
It's mitigating to it. You know what I mean? It's definitely, it contributes to the toxic environment. And it's hard, especially if you live in an urban area or even in a densely populated rural suburban area. It's just if you could actually visually see all the magnetism and all the different frequencies in the air, I mean, you would probably be almost blinded by it.
Right.
The whole room is full of it. Everywhere.
Yeah. I mean, you can't go anywhere anymore. Just even a really good modern radar detector just constantly, if you go through a city, is just, you know what I mean?
Constantly
so many
going off.
Frequencies and different fuck things running through the air that just drives them berserk. And then here, and we're at a point right now where in the next 10 years, autism is projected to affect every other baby born.
They're saying one in three now.
Yeah, well, by 2025, they say 1 in 2.
Wow.
50%.
And, you know, this isn't happening by accident.
No, and when you couple that 50, it's a lot of things. And they're all mitigating. Vaccines, different, traumatized. I had a woman, her name is Janice Barcelo. You guys can dig through the, it's labeled if you dig through the archive at, or you can go to her website, but she talks about birth trauma, about all the things that happen to a baby before it's even freaking born.
I heard that
born. And some of the things that I learned, like letting you know, everything that they do is, everything that modern medicine do is kind of designed to cause as much trauma as, mm-hmm. as possible. I mean, they make it seem like, no, this is, but everything right from cutting the umbilical cord before the blood drains out of it to.
Well, as soon as they're born, they're giving them that hepatitis injection.
They give them hepatitis, they give them vitamin K, they give the mother drugs before she has the baby, but, mm-hmm. you know, on top of. Giving birth inorganically or non-naturally, the first, you know, the first human hands to touch the child are never the father or the mother anymore, and the first eyes that the child looks into and are never the mother and fathers anymore, and it's, you know, right, so right from the start, you've been traumatized, you know, and then on top of that, right after you're born, you get four-point harnessed if you're a male. And then you become, and then you're mutilated. You're forced,
yeah.
which causes trauma. And that, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And
now they've made it illegal, at least here, to have your baby at home. You have to have it at the hospital.
Yeah, that's coming here. Like you can, I think you can still have a midwife, but you have to be a midwife. Like you can't be like an independent midwife with flowers. You have to be a midwife that's actually employed by a hospital.
Wow.
Our
you know, that's
changed.
Really
you
getting in.
We don't have really, religious waiver for vaccines in New York State anymore as of last year.
Yeah, I seen that on experimental vaccines. That guy's really good and he keeps up on everything. But I guess he says in some states you can, but you have to actually go to a court. Prove it.
Well, I'll tell you what. Even though I don't subscribe to any church, there is not one cell of my body that isn't religiously against what they're doing right now.
Yeah.
Put me up in front of someone to argue this, and I will argue it until your ears bleed, because there's no way anyone can convince me that anything that they're doing with vaccines is healthy for my baby.
It's
none.
Not- And then when you couple that with all, you know, with everything else, with all the Wi-Fi in your house and the TVs going and
your smart meter
and the toxic environment outside. And when they get to school, school is toxic. I mean, they're not, it's not a friendly, safe environment.
You've
got, you know, you group kids together by age and you force them to be together.
And now you have cops in schools.
Yeah, you got.
Well, it
cops,
depends on where, what kind of town you live in, but yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, granted, some of them are usually.
If you live in a tiny little podunk, you know.
You got a cop in our schools.
Do you?
We have a resource officer assigned to our little schools here.
Maybe the high school.
The high school in
the high school,
but not the elementary school. Right. But, really.
Yeah, I've seen an interview with some kids they have a cop at school, and they have cameras everywhere, and it's really affecting the kids. It really is, thinking that you're being constantly.
Well, they're putting kids as young as 2 and 3 years old on Prozac type, or Ritalin, or, you know, I mean.
How did they convince the public something that you learned, like in eighth grade, about that mercury can be good for the body? For a developing
I did see,
child.
If you think about 2 years ago, there was a news story that said that mercury may actually be good for.
Be good, right?
For
I read that.
Oh, did Ann Coulter come out with that one?
I have a video, and it is amazing. It's a news agency, and they're saying they have found that mercury is good for the body when everyone knows it destroys. Yourselves, you know.
Yeah, I'd take anything that comes out of Dyke Vader's mouth with a grain of salt.
Yeah. But they have people convinced that, well, it might have a little bit of mercury, but it won't hurt your little kid.
Well, most people don't even know, okay?
Yeah.
Truthfully, most people, even and the people that do, I mean, even the educated people who do know, but say it's out of there, still completely, you know, they're.
Yeah.
That is the level.
But, you know.
The highest level of education on vaccines you can get out there in the general public is, yeah, but they took thimerosal out. They don't know what thimerosal is. They don't
but
know.
But here's the thing. These same people aren't asking the doctors for the insert when they're faced with that and keep reading, because I did, and it doesn't matter if the thimerosal is gone or not. Some of them they are, some of them when they aren't.
They
some
all still sisters. Say it may cause autoimmune deficiency.
No, they include formaldehyde, uh-huh. which should not be in a living organism. That's for, I said to the doctor, that's for preserving dead people. So why
right.
are you putting that in my kid? But the second thing is at the very bottom, they all say they haven't been tested for carcinogenesis.
Uh-huh. Yes, exactly.
Or for fertility.
Or
it
for safety,
the other one.
That matter.
Well, didn't your doctor say he wouldn't treat your kids if you didn't get them
inoculated?
Yeah,
that was our old doctor. The last straw was when my wife told him that she didn't want a flu shot, and he said, if you get the flu, don't come to me. And, so that was the last time I
wouldn't
I
be reason. Getting any of these new flu shots. Did you see this brand new one now has that squalene that I've talked about?
Ooh, that's what we were talking about 3 years ago, Jill.
Squalene. Is bad.
Of all my friends in the Gulf War, I mean, I've been tracing all that since the 90s. We all started to get sick, but that squalene and that adjuvant, and then when my cat got the cancer, and the veterinarians had told me about the study where they were studying the aluminum as an adjuvant and how that was causing the sarcomas in the animals. That's when I started putting all the pieces together. But
and
the
messed up part is they've got most people convinced that things like measles and mumps are deadly childhood diseases.
No, they're not.
And you know what? How many people did you know growing up that died from any of those?
Nobody. If it was ancillary infection, maybe one or two few people
in a million
sick.
Yeah.
But
I mean,
The measles virus helps your body build immunity against certain cancers and things.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So by never getting that, now you don't have these certain immunities. So you know what? We've been
half of America are pale and dumpy and sickly. I mean, we're not a vibrant society anymore.
You know, we've been messing with the apple cart in this ecology of things that we never understood for a long time. You know, everything is a balanced ecosystem organism, and we're discovering now that even down to the bacteria in our skin and the bacteria in our guts and the bacteria in the soils are all a very major part of how everything works, and we've been killing it all.
Isn't
and
it
people
weird
don't realize we
have,
are part of this planet. We don't just
isn't it
live
weird
on
that
it.
Your body is made up of bacteria that has its own DNA. You know what I'm saying? You've got things on your body that are organic that you are its world. You know what I mean?
Some of that bacteria actually controls your brain, JJ. Your brain is controlled by some of that bacteria that lives in your colon.
Yeah, that's why they say gut health. I mean,
even for people
with severely vaccine damaged children, a lot of the key to keeping them comfortable is their gut, is the health of their stomach and the organs in their gut.
That is our whole health. If your gut is bad or
it is
damaged, then your health is shit.
Yeah, if I go to bed and eat a bag of cookies, I always wake up feeling...
Oh, God, that even made me feel sick just thinking about it. Oh, yuck. Yeah, anything like that. All those oils, those synthetic oils or whatever it is they use, they just make me ill.
Well, you don't even know what they're putting in the food anymore. I mean, you know, there's so many chemicals. I found out that McDonald's, their French fries... are only 20% potato.
And
what? Yeah.
And they're probably using that Simplot, I'm telling you, that new GMO potato that's on the market.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Be careful with any French fries anywhere now, because I bet you that those are going to slip Willy into there. But I thought I read something, too, about in the oil in some of these fast food restaurants, they had like a silicone or something in there.
Yeah.
They're slowly trying to change our DNA so that future people can live on chemical poison instead of what we were created with.
Right. It's just like we've all grown up with radiation, at least on the West Coast, from all the
well, they're pushing it to pretty soon to the point where food doesn't even really need to be solid. You'll be able to just inject it.
Or the Soylent Green stuff. They're already looking on that.
Yeah,
I'll tell you, one of the things we got to look at is the new USDA recommendations food pyramid thing for 2016. It doesn't have the cockroaches because I was looking for eating the bugs in the whole UN agenda, but I'll tell you what the whole thing's all about. We've never included sustainability in our food pyramid, and so that's what this is all about. So very soon, you know, you saw throughout the entire recommendation, they were talking about how meat is no longer sustainable, and how many stories have we done already, and I'm telling you, they are going to push that agenda. If they're talking about sustainability in food, you better believe that it's going to be turned upside down and on its head here very shortly.
Mm-hmm. That's why I'm learning to eat weeds. Weeds will always be with us.
Weeds, yeah.
Yeah. I eat 1 meal a day of weeds.
My
field. Weeds.
Zori goes scavenging along the roadside. It's dinner.
Not for weed, for weeds.
Weeds,
yes. Line.
Yeah. No, I mean, there's so much. There's more vitamins in the weeds out in my field than there is in any of the ones that you get at the store, the organic store. Because once you
dandelions
cut it,
dandelions are more nutritious than most of the shit.
Dandelions will help heal your liver too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Alcoholics use that with alcoholics, and they have actually repaired the liver.
Well, when I was pregnant and they had me, I was sick from the very beginning with this thing that blew into preeclampsia. But after about 2 months, my blood pressure went through the roof and they couldn't get it down. And so they put me on these meds that they've been using for 30 or 40 years for pregnant women with blood pressure issues. And I don't remember what the name of the drug was, but I dug into it. I mean, there really were not many side effects at all to the infant, but to the mother, it puts you into liver and heart failure. So that's why it's not given anymore unless it's an emergency and only to pregnant women. But by the time they cut that thing out of me, I was about 80 pounds heavier, full of water weight, in liver and heart failure. I had oh my God, you guys don't even know what I went through. 9 days in ICU then afterward. But I had major problems after I got back home because my organs were in such bad shape. And dandelion was one of the things, dandelion root, and fresh dandelion was one of the things that I spent a lot of time ingesting, as well as milk thistle and turmeric. Yeah, I love plantains. Those are they're everywhere, and they're edible. But I never tried that for the liver. But I'm telling you, the dandelion, the milk thistle, and the turmeric or curcumin.
Mm-hmm.
My liver is normal. You know, I've done those week-long tests and then the 24-hour tests where you got to, you know, fill a bucket for sampling, because there's proteins and stuff that end up in your urine if your liver and that's not working and your heart's not working properly. But my liver's back to normal. But I was in mega, like, stage 3, they told me, by the time I gave birth. And that's where all the water weight came from and all the toxicity.
And it affects your thyroid, too.
Oh, my thyroid was already messed up. It took me about 6 years to get over all that toxic.
Fluoride don't help.
That happens. From
no.
That. 6 years.
You know, it's amazing what happens to people when they start eating real food, like they did at that high school, where they threw out everything and started feeding the kids oranges and fresh organic food. And the kids all turned around. They weren't fighting no more. They were paying attention in school. I mean, it does remarkable things when you go back to real food. Most people don't eat real food anymore at all.
Brain works again?
Yeah.
I think that's the plan, honestly.
Mm-hmm. I do, too. You know, and then they have it so that, I mean, how can the vote not go for labeling what you're putting in your kid's body. You can't even find out what you're putting in your kid's body. There's something way wrong with the society.
And then they have mothers writing letters about how they shouldn't feel guilty about knowingly feeding them kids GMO because it's healthy and nutritious. And it costs a lot less than the organic. I mean, the cost is definitely an issue, but if you don't feel any type of guilt or worry about how this is going to affect your kids in the future, you need to do some research.
Yeah. I mean, even with the inoculations, with the, all of the controversy out there, if I was a mother, I mean, of a school-age child, listening to all that, I would at least investigate it.
Right.
I wouldn't just go, oh, well, you know, they're crazy. They don't mean, no, the doctor knows best. That kills me.
Well, that's got to stop because the doctor doesn't know best. The doctor knows what's in his best interest.
There you go. Yeah, except for a few doctors, you know, the ones that have gone and found out what nutrition really does. They get 1 hour in school on nutrition. 1 hour. That's crazy.
They need to study nutrition is what has to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can't trust your doctor. Period. I mean, even if you've known him since you were a baby, you can't trust your doctor.
Well, or your dentist.
Or your dentist.
Or if your dentist was your husband's best friend's dad. No, can't trust him either. I'm telling you, something's very broken.
Mm-hmm. Well, money, greed has a lot to do with it. These doctors that
take
pills out for money. Yeah.
Money is look, you know, you can always go walk your way up to the top of the pyramid, and it's money that's used.
Mm-hmm.
Whether there are elite personal agendas or not, money is what they use to facilitate all of it.
Yep. And like psychiatry, I mean, they used to be on the bottom of the totem pole for doctors, but ever since they came out with all these psychotropic drugs, now they've gone up and they're all becoming millionaires pumping all these pills out for
and because they're all millionaires and there's so much money in it and there's so many ghost authors for these so-called peer-reviewed studies and there's so much money in it that it just re-perpetuates itself. It's the same thing with the cannabis. You can't study it. You couldn't before. You could never get the funding. You'll never get funding to study man-made global warming. You'll never get money to try to prove that. Even if you were trying to prove that there was global warming, but that it wasn't man-made, you will never get the funding to do that. It's the same without now the DSM-5 that's been updated to have oppositional defiance disorder. People who say no now are mentally disabled.
Yeah, I've seen that.
People who want to eat healthy.
No to somebody with a badge or with some sort of fucking authority, you have oppositional, you know, disorder.
Don't forget the Tom Insel, the director of the National Institute of Mental Health, just moved over to Google from the federal government. His whole thing, remember, it's beyond oppositional defiant disorder, JJ. It's resistant consumers, right?
Yep.
We are resistant. We don't want to take the vaccines. We don't want to eat the GMOs. We don't want to follow along with this COP21, the green Nazi agenda. Mm-hmm. Right, and we are trying to now, and I just saw something the other day, I posted it on my page, the story was titled, Is Mental Illness Contagious? So not only now are they trying to prove, no, seriously, not only are they trying to prove that instead of mental illness being black or white, now it's a spectrum disorder, so we could just diagnose anybody, right? Oh, yeah, well, you're on the mild end of the oppositional defiance disorder because you only responded no twice in our interactions. But, you know, the contagion thing, I think they're going to spin that right into that pesky internet and how that pesky internet has radicalized so many people just by sharing ideas. And tying to that, the Google Truth algorithm, because that's going to be part of the cure. And then, of course, the Google diagnosis for mental illness just by your voice. You know,
they're not going to call it "you're going to the re-education camp." They'll have some fancy, you know what I mean? They'll have a fancy, some sort of clinical, word or phrase that people will be like, "Yeah, that's not bad."
Oh, right. Like,
it's not bad. We execute Japanese officers for waterboarding, American POWs. Bad when they do it, but when we do it, it's just enhanced interrogation. And
right. Yeah.
So the same kind of doublespeak is my only point.
That's exactly what it is, too, is doublespeak. You know?
And the fortunate thing is it's fortunate and unfortunate. See, we, on the internet, we have our little networks, and we see things that trend amongst ourselves, but the general public... Most people just really don't have time in their life, man, because on top of all the different frequencies that they're blasted with in the air and physically, they're blasted with all this other energy, this other
toxic,
predatory energy that is everywhere they go.
Well, it's not only predatory, but it's dangling carrots everywhere, the distraction carrots, pay attention to me. And it's using the reward system to distract you, to totally take your attention off of that which is important.
Right. Or else you're working two jobs just to make be able to pay the mortgage and stuff, and you're dead tired by the time you get home. You don't have time to think or to read.
Well, I can tell you.
You shouldn't have to. You should. Well, I don't mean that you shouldn't have to read. What I mean is you should be able to trust the CDC.
Right.
You should be able to trust your doctor. You should be able to trust the schools. You should be able to,
Yep.
It shouldn't be the way it is. You should be able to trust these things. I mean, it's our own laziness.
Yep. We've let it get
we
can't, here.
But again, it's money and it's 100. I mean, you got to think about it. Some of these families and these organizations, these think tanks have spent billions of dollars figuring us out scientifically.
They have.
And you can literally, now, I'm not even talking about using these AI algorithms and programs that can reprogram themselves. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about just straight up, we've been so scientifically profiled that if they really want to, they can, and I say they loosely because... whenever, you give any group or any, you have any position where you have the ability to use your authority to sway or to, intimidate even the most, normalest of people with the best of intentions would push the button, so to speak.
Yeah. That experiment, what was it called? Where they
experiment.
The what?
Milgram's?
Stanford. And Milgram. I did a whole show on that. That's on the archives also. When you give somebody absolute authority over another person who has absolutely no authority and absolutely no avenue of redress and no way to and absolutely no protection, then terrible things happen, even to the nicest people who know that it's a test.
Power corrupts.
It does. And they found that even the most peaceful people become sadistic.
Right. All through all classes, rich, poor.
The prisoners, too.
Yeah.
Well, I just saw a study not too long ago where religious people tended to be greedier than non-religious people, too. There was something about sharing money. There was a study, and the people who typically purport to be the ones who are most giving are the ones who aren't.
You know, it's going to be fucked up when these people go to heaven and they see it's all mud huts and Like, well, I thought it was all going to be golden highways and fucking...
Like the 40 virgins and all that.
It's just mud huts and no violence. And people are like, what? There's no iPhone? I don't get an iPad? What the F? I want to go to hell. No.
I don't know. I truly think... I truly think if there's anything in the afterlife, it really has to do with your vibrational frequency.
I do, too.
And so, like, the more negativity you put out, and it doesn't matter whether or not you think it's right or wrong, and there's no authority up there that's ruling over you trying to decide if it's right or wrong, you can feel good vibrations versus bad vibrations and anger versus love. I mean, there's a lightness and a darkness or a heaviness and a lightness to it. And if you are at a higher frequency where you just let everything kind of roll off and feel good about things, you're in a totally different state of mind than when you're sitting there being hateful and spiteful to everybody. And I truly think that if there is something in the afterlife, that's how it's determined where you end up.
Right. Well,
it's
I think your
end frequency is.
Yeah. Well, you go back to the hive. I mean, it's because there's no physical...
No, it's an energy hive of some kind.
I don't think it's a physical realm. So that's why I think that this dimension, this third three-dimension existence that we have just for a brief time is so, you know, awesome, man. We're just, it's a chance to feel things, to physically feel things, and good and bad. You know what I'm saying? It's been like this since the beginning of time.
I think dreams have a lot to do with it.
I mean, we've been led to believe that there has to be a struggle. But I believe that there is a chance that we could evolve beyond the struggle of war and violence. It's just, we're just not there yet.
But what about, we're like, the human race is like a symphony, and we all resonate on our own note. And when there's too many of us that are out of tune,
yeah, just not enough
shit
space,
starts to sound like a bad orchestra. Trust me, I played a violin for 8 years in an orchestra, and there's nothing like a bad orchestra.
You're right, but you know what? They've played flour tortillas on a turntable, and you know what I'm saying? So anything can make music, and it doesn't necessarily.
The spheres make music as well.
I get you, man. What I think is there's people are fooled into thinking there's not enough space.
Yeah.
You know, people are definitely, they like to be, everybody likes to fellowship with other, you know, with other humans, but they also like to have our space.
Yeah. You know,
been restricted, badly mismanaged.
You know, learning about all these frequencies and stuff and how it can affect your brain and all. Do you ever wonder, I mean, I think you're going to have to get to know yourself, to notice if there's a change. You know what I mean? Like if you've been hit with too many and it's affecting your brain, you're going to have to know yourself well enough to notice this isn't me.
Well, you know what you have to get outside. I mean, I lived in the city for 10 straight years when I was in Buffalo, because that's where I went to school and then I stayed there. And I could tell you the difference between living in the city and living back in the suburbs is huge. But when you're in the suburbs, still, every neighbor's got a freaking wireless router. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so then the difference between going to the suburbs.
Meter.
Exactly. But then the difference going from the suburbs down to the woods, and there's a huge difference.
That's
there.
Where I see the big difference now.
That's when I can feel my head is so clear when I'm down in the woods. I could just
I'm in the mountains once a week, just for that reason, you know. But
and there's a massive difference between being within society and being where it's sparse.
Yeah, it's true. And like if you go to a mountain town. From the city, people smile. It's like going to a health food store. Everyone's happy there. Have you ever noticed that?
Yeah.
But you go to the regular market, no one talks, no one smiles. There's just hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. It's amazing. My friend went to the store shopping with me last week, and he goes, wow, that was nice. He goes, even the customers, everyone was smiling in there. And I go, it makes a difference when you're, what you're putting in your body as to how you react with people. And I believe that.
Maybe. Or it's just a nicer feeling that you know that you're doing right by yourself and others. But I think so.
Happier.
Yeah.
You know, not so like.
But you're not looking at it as a chore.
Right.
It's a treasure hunt.
There you go. Like going to a thrift store. Oh, God.
I haven't done that. I should actually do that this week while school's out.
Yeah, I just love it. I find the neatest things at the Goodwill and stuff around here.
Oh, yeah, that's my favorite. We haven't been in a while either. Hey, just to kind of close up here, I caught one story last night that I really couldn't get over that I posted, but I wanted to share it with you guys. So in New York City in Queens, this dude was walking his dog. Did you guys see this? He's a biology student, 28 years old, walking his little puppy outside of his apartment. You guys didn't see that?
No.
Oh, so check this out. This really takes the cake. And, of course, I shared this with my friend who doesn't agree with me on anything. And the first response was, well, he didn't follow the cop's commands. But this is beyond. I'm sorry, but if, you know, here was the argument to me. Well, just like if you're pulled over by a cop and they're sitting in their car writing you a ticket and you pull away, then they have every right to come chase after you and run you off the road because now it's a felony because you're evading arrest, because once they stop you, you are being detained, right? But here's my thing. If you already got my license plate number or you already know who I am, then why do you need to even interact with me? Send me a fucking ticket, okay? Right? I mean, once they got you, why do they need to interact with you? And the same thing with this guy with his puppy that got the shit beaten out of him and is now facing 7 years in prison for a felony because he didn't have a leash on his puppy in Queens, okay? I mean, really? The guy ran into his house. You knew where he lived. It wouldn't have been too hard to figure out who he was.
Jules, that's horrible. There should be no way that something like that could escalate into
that level. No, because a lot of times it ends up with people getting killed. And this guy in particular,
your blinker not working, could escalate to a murder on the side of the road.
Well, that one kid that back a few months ago,
just like you were saying, walking the dog. How on earth could there be any justification
to beat the shit out of it, and now the guy's facing a felony.
Well, look, guys, you know what? In Germany, then with the Nazis and all the bad things they were doing, people still refused to believe that they were bad because they were police.
Well, I would be so upset, and they're suing the city. I hope they win. Let me just read a little bit of this because it was unreal. Says cell phone video of a man resisting arrest in his own home and having his head slammed through the wall is going viral. How the New York City police officers got inside the home is unclear, but it all stemmed from a puppy being walked without a leash. Nicholson Gregoire, a 25-year-old biology student at Nassau Community College, was walking his puppy around 5 p.m. on December 15th when he noticed police conducting stop and frisk searches. Now, I thought they ended that, too.
I thought they did, too.
Police noticed that the dog was not restricted by a leash and asked Gregoire for ID. Gregoire reportedly was granted permission to go inside of his Queens home to find his ID, but he closed the door, prompting two officers to repeatedly ring the doorbell. Gregoire's 87-year-old grandfather came down the stairs to answer the door, but from there, the police and Gregoire tell different versions of subsequent events. The police are alleging that my client answered the door and then dragged them inside to justify them coming into the house.
You're kidding me.
They had no basis to enter the premises, says Gregoire's lawyer. The arrest report alleges Gregoire would not hand over his ID against the grandfather's advice, but cell phone video was taken, and I watched the video, by Gregoire's girlfriend with opening with the ongoing struggle between Gregoire and the officers, and Gregoire's holding up his ID as the police have him on the floor. And he kept yelling, "Here's my ID, here's my ID, stop, you know what I mean, get off me." The wrestling continued for several minutes. Gregoire's head ended up busting a hole in the wall after multiple hammerings from one of four additional officers. Others punched and pepper sprayed him multiple times before the man was finally handcuffed. He says, "I've been watching the video over and over, and I didn't use any foul language. I don't think I should have been arrested in my own home for walking my dog. I was scared for my life. They have guns." And, you know, that's the thing. There are more and more people now that have seen these videos on YouTube that are quite honestly scared to freaking death. I mean, they've seen one simple interaction like this turn into being shot to death. That teenage kid back a few months ago he dropped his brother off at the church to go play in a basketball tournament. He was heading back to his girlfriend's house. Yeah, and he left his license there. Flashed lights because someone was coming at him with their brights on. Ends up it was a cop.
Yeah.
The guy pulls him over, and it ends up the 17-year-old kid ends up getting shot like 9 or 12 or 15 times dead on the side of the road.
As compliant as he should have been, but there's no reason. That can't.
That should not have escalated to the child being murdered.
You can't just turn something like that into a
No.
I just don't get it.
It doesn't. Like I said, my friend that disagrees with everything with me is like, "Wow, you know, you shouldn't resist arrest. That's what happens." But you know what? It's a fucking retarded arrest, and it shouldn't have been an arrest to begin with. It shouldn't have escalated to anything beyond a meter maid, okay? Give me a fucking ticket and go home. That's all you wanted is your revenue. And then it turns into a roid head shooting a 17-year-old child who was a good kid and didn't do anything really wrong.
And then everybody justifying it for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, saying he should have just done what they said.
Submit.
Even if it is true. I mean, you know, if you don't want to get shot, how long have I been saying you're one what's it to you?
Right. It's exactly it.
Murdered on the side of the highway.
It's exactly it.
If you don't stand up for your rights no more, because you're liable to end up dead.
Dead. Yep. So to end the story, the guy, it's judicial.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jules.
I just wanted to read the last paragraph. The guy in New York City walking his puppy is facing 7 years in prison for charges, including resisting arrest, assaulting an officer, strangulation. Because at some point when all these guys are on top of him, he says he doesn't remember, but he did. He flipped his arm up and he got the one cop around the neck. But you know what? You're getting the shit kicked out of you in your own house. You know, that's just like you're going to be trying to defend yourself regardless of who it is.
That's how they treat prisoners in a prison.
Yeah.
So his employer has suspended him, and he missed his final exam at school because his family couldn't get together the $2,500 in bail to get him out of jail before his final.
That's not real. Man, I hope it goes viral. You know,
and these charges are felony, no less.
Yep, and his life's ruined.
Because of not having a fucking leash on his puppy. And in the video, he said the cops asked him, "Did you know that we had, you know, leash laws? You can't have your puppy off a leash." Well, the guy only had his puppy for like a week. He's like, "No."
Yeah.
Come on.
You're supposed to know all the laws when the police don't even know all the laws. They make them up as they go.
I was so angry when I read that story last night. A puppy.
Yeah. That's why I say you never know if you're going to make it home when you go to the market. Because if some cop that's in a bad mood that day, they work at escalating, not de-escalating.
So here's the deal, is you've got to understand that going into it.
Yeah.
And
that's true.
That you're going to sit there. Look, you can do those simple things. Am I under arrest? No. Can I leave? No. If I'm under arrest, I want a lawyer. And, I mean...
Well, they should be teaching.
Because otherwise, you're dealing with somebody that just doesn't have the facilities, the tools in his fucking cabinet.
You know what? Some cops take that as defiant, and that makes them angrier.
Exactly, but I mean, you do that, and then you comply.
Yep, you do comply if you want to get out of it.
Like
alive.
I said, you're dealing with people that only have the tools in their bag to deal with nails. They only have a hammer. And so that's what you got to do. It's either that or you got to, everywhere you go, you've got to have 4 or 5 armed guards with you.
Yep.
Or we have to fucking change the fucking system somehow.
That's what we need to do.
Which it's not going to happen. We're going to break up into small. This is coming.
Yeah. Well, you know, they are starting, and I have to admit, they are starting.
Our empire is collapsing, and it's beginning before our very eyes.
Well, except the Saudis.
Accountable is what it needs. What needs to happen instead of these guys covering up for all of them, you know, we got to find them accountable for what they do. That's why they do it. They aren't held accountable. Nothing
it's
happens.
Still not happening. That Tamir Rice. Did you see? Now they're predicting there may be riots now in Cleveland because that cop got off that killed that 12-year-old boy.
Killed that 12-year-old boy.
Yeah,
and I remember I did a story on that.
Justify it. Well, the combination of a bad 911 call with
right, she didn't
that
tell
she
him.
Didn't get, so it's justified. A cop pulling up,
murdered,
screeching
yeah.
to a halt, jumping out of his car,
and
not
shooting
or just open firing on a child is justified because the 911 dispatcher didn't say, "Oh, by the
it
way,
might be
it's
a
probably
toy
a child with a toy gun."
That yeah. is not justified, regardless if there was an orange tip on it. That was yeah. not justified.
Put the motherfucker in jail for 10 years.
Yeah.
You know
that,
what I mean?
That upset
then maybe
me.
The cops will start thinking, wow, we can't just go murder people.
Well, you know what? I said this long ago, though. Where the hell is the liability insurance? As soon as cops have to pay $1 million liability policy, like doctors do or whatever, they'll be thinking twice.
Yeah,
and there'll be a lot less cops, which is a good thing.
Yeah. Then you know what? Then you might get the ones that are trained that actually have half a brain and can think for themselves before pulling the trigger and asking questions later. When it's going to hit their pocketbook and not the taxpayer.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah,
hey,
it's like that other kid that they killed and they got on video. He was walking away from him and the guy shot him 16 times.
Because he was walking away being defiant.
Yeah.
That must have been a threat to his life.
Yeah.
Most, listen,
but they are,
of the 1,033 police terror murders this year, more than 60% of them were unarmed and shot in the back.
Yep.
Most of their encounters are with... I mean, I'd say unarmed loosely because they consider a Bic pen or a ballpoint pen or a felt tip pen.
There we go.
All right. Nice. Have a great day, everybody.
Today.